Welcome back to the Mike McEntee Show. Tuesday night, DFLers in the 3rd Congressional District will be starting the endorsement process to figure out who their candidate will be against incumbent Republican Congressman Eric Paulson. One of the three candidates who is seeking that DFL endorsement is Adam Jennings, a Tonka Bay City Councilman. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Good to have you on. Last time we had you on the show was back in June. In the 7 months that have passed, what has happened besides the weather going much colder here in Minnesota?
Yeah. No, it's been a busy 7 months. I think since that time we've been out across the district. I've literally met with thousands of people and had thousands of conversations. I've learned a lot. I think I'm in a better position now to represent the 3rd district than I was when we last spoke.
You said you learned a lot. What have you learned?
You know, a lot of it is listening to the stories of folks out in the district and kind of how they're experiencing, what's important to them. I met with a woman actually just recently up in Coon Rapids, and she lives in affordable housing. She currently uses HUD, and she and a number of the other residents that she's living with right now literally have to make a decision about whether or not they're going to buy food or purchase medication. And that just doesn't make sense to me. And it's stories like those that I've been able to share with folks that have really helped ground me in how people are experiencing their lives and how they're being represented or not represented by Eric Paulson.
Now, as I mentioned, we've got the precinct caucuses coming up here on Tuesday. That's the first step in the endorsement process. And I've watched a lot of these over the years. A candidate can be right on the issues, but then money's going to rear its head. If a candidate's not attracting money and other resources, he or she ends up kind of getting the cold shoulder from the party activists who are often the delegates. How are you doing in that department?
You know, we're actually doing a really good job. We put a great deal of effort with our finance team into raising $135,000 in the fourth quarter of 2017. We've raised a total of $440,000 total, and we currently have $250,000 cash on hand. And what I think is really important to understand is that it's not who has the most money, but who has enough money. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it's messages and it's issues that win elections. And we just need to be able to connect with voters in this district and able to put ourselves in a position to be able to do that. I think what's important for folks to understand is that, I mean, we essentially have a couple different philosophies that are running in this race right now. One philosophy says that we've got to move to the center. And we have to somehow court this mythical Republican swing voter in order to win the district because we're a purple district. And I contend that that just isn't the case. I do believe that we live in a Democratic district. If you take a look at Obama's races, he won in both cycles. Hillary Clinton, she absolutely crushed this district. She beat Donald Trump by 10 full percentage points. But more importantly, if you take a look at the legislative seats throughout the 3rd Congressional, a majority of the seats are held by Democrats. And these aren't necessarily moderate Democrats either. These are progressive Democrats. These are strong union Democrats. And I think the one mistake that we've made is that certainly at the congressional level is that we can continue to move to the center and we have this centrist message. And that's not what this district is looking for. And that's why my campaign has come out, and I am running strongly on Medicare for All. I think that is going to be ground zero in the next race. I want folks, when they walk into the general voting booth, thinking about whether or not they want to vote for the guy that's for Medicare for All or the other guy that's for repeal and replace. I'm strongly stand behind traditional public education. I say that as someone who is the product of public education, as is my wife, who's a pediatrician. We're going to send our kids to public schools. And finally, I think it's extremely important for us to have a federally mandated $15 an hour minimum wage. We've got to do everything we can to protect the middle class and expand the middle class and make sure that that we're growing. Because, you know, as Paul Wellstone said, we all do better when we all do better.
I want to come back to some of those issues, but I want to start with what you kind of intimated there is that Dean Phillips is the other, not the only other candidate in this race, but is one of the major candidates in the race. Mm-hmm. How do you differentiate yourself from Dean Phillips?
You know, interestingly, the 3 points that I just pointed out actually are all clear differences between Mr. Phillips and myself. Mr. Phillips does not believe in Medicare for All. Mr. Phillips is also a fan of charter schools, and I certainly understand that there are going to be people in this district that don't necessarily agree with me on that stance. But I'm a big believer, and I absolutely love Paul Wellstone on this. You might not always agree with my stances, but you will always know where I stand on things. And finally, the $15 an hour minimum wage. I believe in a federally mandated $15 an hour minimum wage. I believe Mr. Phillips believes in the concept and he pays his own employees that amount, but that doesn't necessarily mean he wants to impose it on the Walmarts of this world that basically receive a backdoor subsidy because of it.
Well, let's kind of pick up talking about wages there. Unions have been very important in raising wages over the years. We've seen declining membership over the last several decades. You used to be a union member. Mm-hmm. What role do you see the unions in playing and strengthening the middle class?
Yeah, no. So I am a big believer in collective bargaining. If you take a look at all of the balance sheets for publicly traded companies in this country in aggregate, and this is pre-Republican tax bill that was just passed this last year. There's like $2.4 trillion. That's with a T on balance sheets. And what I think is interesting is that if trickle down economics worked, and I contend that it does not, it is dead. That money would be going down, would be trickling down, and wages would be increasing. But we've had wage stagnation in this country for the last 30 years. And that correlates with the strength of unions and the fact that they've been chipped away and having to battle just for survival. And we need to do everything that we can to ensure that they have as much strength as possible so that, you know, at the end of the day, they have the ability to have a seat at the corporate table. They can voice the fact that they need higher wages and not have to worry about their jobs just by voicing their interest there.
Let's hit on a couple of the other big issues here that people talk about. Healthcare. You already mentioned Medicare for All and that you're for a public option. Given the current political climate, if you got into Congress, how do you propose we get there? Incrementally, or does it need to be all at once?
So right now, and I want to make a very important distinction here. What I'm calling for is Medicare for All. I really think that we need a single-payer system in this country. When we talk about a public option, because that idea does get floated, that basically means that Medicare would be sitting next to private insurance companies. Private insurance companies have this innate ability of being able to garner the healthiest, keep the healthiest people within their plans and pushing those individuals that are less healthy out. In a public option, those people seeking coverage would naturally go to Medicare. And on a long-term basis, Medicare would get more and more expensive over time. And it would put Republicans in a perfect position to kind of run their same game plan of saying, look, this program is expensive. It's not working. Let's cancel it. And then, you know, lots of folks would lose coverage. Now, that being said, I just wanted to set that off to the side here real quickly. The plan that I'm really interested in is the one that is being proposed by Bernie Sanders in the Senate. It's the Medicare for All 2017 bill. And in that, there's a four-year phase-in. In year one, everyone from 0 to 18 would be covered. Everyone 55 and older, covered. Medicare would have the ability to negotiate drug prices with drug companies. That's year one. In year two, basically the threshold drops from 55 to 45. In year three, it drops from 45 to 35. And then in year four, everyone should be covered. I think it's probably similar to a system that you would see in Taiwan. For those of you who don't know, the listeners that are out there, Taiwan actually has a single-payer universal system, and it stole a page from the U.S. playbook. It used U.S. Medicare as the basis for its system, and it's extremely successful.
We're speaking with Adam Jennings. He's one of the DFL candidates running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. Let me ask you about the other thing that it shut down our government here the other weekend, immigration. We have millions of people who are undocumented. The Obama administration, now the Trump administration, has been actively deporting many people. How do you resolve the current standoff on immigration and then ultimately solve the problem?
Yeah, that's it. One, what's happening right now is just absolutely ridiculous. The fact that you come to this country as a child and you had no choice whether or not you were here and all you've ever known is living in America and being a part of the American system, you should have a clean pathway to citizenship. We just need to get it done. And I think this is something that as Democrats, we just need to stand up and fight for. You know, I think as a party, that fundamentally, this kind of speaks to who we are as Democrats and some of the issues that I think Democrats have in general. I think we made a conscious decision in the 90s to move to the center. And I think it may have been politically expedient at the time, but whatever political expediency it had is gone. What happened was it put us in a position where we have incrementally shifted further and further and further to the right. And what we've done is we've kind of lost who we are. You know, we used to be this party that we stood up unapologetically and fought for the poor. We fought for those without voices. We fought for the working class. We fought for the middle class. And it's time that we actually turn back to the pre-1990s party and start to embrace some of those issues again. And this is just a perfect example of, you know what, Dreamers, DACA, they need clean citizenship because it's the right thing to do, period.
We've got just a few seconds left here, but I'm just wondering, caucuses are on Tuesday night. What are you going to be doing Tuesday night, and what are you telling your supporters to do?
Come out to caucus, especially if you like the message that you're hearing. We're interested in hearing from you. Please reach out to us at JenningsForCongress.com and let us know that you're interested in caucusing for us, because we'd like to have a conversation. Certainly, I'm going to be out and about, trying to touch base with as many precincts as possible, and we're going to have a number of volunteers that are going to be doing the same, but it's crucial. It's probably the single most important thing for us in order to get the endorsement and go on to beat Eric Paulson.
Adam Jennings, thank you so much for your time today.
Mike, appreciate it.